Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you out there in that listening audience. I'm going to give a little recap and a rundown of the recently completed Africa mission today, and then go into a teaching from Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses. And so if you have your Bible there, you can open it up to Deuteronomy 28 in the Old Testament, and we'll take that up toward the end of the time period here for the teaching. And I just want to say thank you to all of you out there who helped contribute and make it possible for me to go to Africa for my fifth year over there preaching the word and just sharing the good news of the gospel with people. And so we were extremely blessed this year. God put two great men beside me, one of them a young man from Kansas City who had come out of my prison ministry, and he is walking with the Lord. He's attending the International House of Prayer and leading some Bible studies there at International House of Prayer in Kansas City. And he was a strong man to be beside me, a good companion, a good travel mate, a very strong kid, and we just thank the Lord for him. And the second man was a former missionary aviation fellowship pilot from Scotland, and his name is Roger Fothergill, and he is a retired now commercial airline pilot. And so he was also with me, and he is a good Bible teacher, has some great insight into the stories of Jesus and just the gospel message of Jesus. And so he was a great teacher to have at the pastor training, and also an additional asset is that he spoke French, and so he was able to converse in French with the people in the Congo. That's their language, and so he was a great asset in terms of interpretation and just being able to let me know what was going on and interpret for me the messages that were being spoken by some of the other pastors there in the Congo. And so we had basically three different places of meetings over there in Africa. I'll give you just a brief rundown of each one. We flew into Nairobi, and from there we had meetings out in Nakuru, Kenya, in a university out there called Kabarak University. We spoke in Kabarak two different times with a group of students. The first night was with the Christian Student Union, and the second night was just open to the whole campus, the leaders and students from the whole campus. There's 2,000 to 3,000 students there at Kabarak University. And so we had two great nights of meetings and days of meetings. And then on Sunday, we were back in Nairobi with students again at Kibbit University, Kenya Institute of Building, Trade, and Technology. And we had a full house of students there from Kibbit University, a great praise band, and people just danced to the Lord. And we had a great time of meeting there. A four-hour meeting started at 8 in the morning and went till noon. And so we were just very blessed by the meeting there at Kibbit. We all got down on our knees at one point, about 100 students and us pastors. We got down on our knees and just prayed for God to intercede in the affairs of Kenya, for God to show himself mighty to save in the affairs of Kenya. And I would have to say that God, I believe, is doing a mighty work, that people there in Kenya are really crying out to the Lord because of all the terrorist attacks, the Westgate Mall attack a year ago, and the bombings in churches and in restaurants and in places where tourists gather. And so God is doing a mighty work there. People are on their knees crying out to the Lord. People are seeking him. And I'm seeing a desire on the part of Kenya to clean up the corruption in that country, to clean up the corruption in the politicians. And I'm seeing a more of a desire than I've ever seen there. It's my fifth year of going over to Nairobi. I'm seeing more of a desire there in the people to seek the Lord and to do what is right and to seek his face and to walk with the Lord. And then after the meetings with the students in Nairobi, Robbie and I took off and flew out to Kisumu in West Kenya on the Lake Victoria, and then from there we motored up to Mumias, and we spent a couple of days in Mumias And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that we had a great time there resting and relaxing out on the farm site of where Gather the Outcast Ministry is going to build an orphanage 15 miles or so outside of Mumias. And so we were able to stay there on the farm of Pastor Lucas Obanda, and we had a great relaxing time for a couple of days. And then from there, we motored over to Malaba, which is a city of about 10 or 15,000 on the border between Uganda and Kenya. And Malaba is a very interesting place. It's a typical border town. There's lots of prostitution, lots of drugs and contraband being taken across the border into Uganda. But also there is a checkpoint there where they're checking all the trucks going into Uganda for weapons and guns and explosives, because all of the drivers of the trucks are Muslim and most of the businesses in Malaba are Muslim. And so there's an attempt by the Muslims to sneak all these weapons and ammunition into Uganda. And so I wasn't aware of how much of a Muslim town it was before I got there, and so it was a little bit of sowing seed in rocky ground, sowing seed in hard ground. We did have probably an average of 200 to 300 people a day at the crusade, and some salvation decisions. A lot of people came forward for healings, but it was a bit of rocky ground, and so I was thankful for the people that got saved. I was thankful for the people that got healed. I was a little bit frustrated because there weren't more people that came to the crusade. But God placed us there for a reason, to sow seeds. And God placed us there in a place that's not easy to preach in a place like that. And so we just thank the Lord for the victories that were there. We also had pastor training in the Malaba Harvest Church. And that was attended by quite a few pastors, 40 to 50 pastors. We had several pastors came over from Uganda next door. And so we just praise the Lord for the good time that we had in Malaba and the victories won there. And then we went from there back to Mumias, spent a couple of days again on the farm of Pastor Lucas Obanda. And then we went back to Nairobi and picked up another pastor. There was four of us then at this time, and we flew to Kigali, Rwanda, and then from Rwanda, the church people from Goma in the Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, came over to Kigali, a four-hour drive, picked us up and took us over back to Goma in the east side of the Congo, and that is where we also spent a week there, and we had pastor training for quite a few pastors, 75 to 100 pastors in the church, the Deliverance Church of Pastor Joel Amaruni. And in addition to that, then we had the outdoor crusades. We got rained on just about every day. It was wet, wet, wet. We had a beautiful place to stay. We had a nice hotel right on the lake, Kivu, a big lake, 125 miles long. And they blessed us by taking care of us and putting us up in this fine hotel. We had a very good pastor training meeting, 75 to 100 pastors each day, and then the crusades in the afternoon. And we had quite a few salvation decisions. We had people got healed. We got people got delivered. And it was just a very blessed time. It was a time to bring and establish stability and bring the word of the Lord. Blessed on the mountain are the feet of those that bring good news. And so the peace that comes when you preach the word, the peace that brings good news, we brought to the city of Goma. I was amazed at how much it had changed since 2012 when I was there last. There's a feeling of peace and a feeling of stability, a feeling of a possibility and a hope for a future, a hope for a better life, and now without the rebel activity, without the civil war going on around Goma. When we were there in 2012, there was 10,000 troops in the city of Goma, 10,000 UN troops keeping the rebels at bay and keeping stability in the city, and now there wasn't hardly any troops. There was just a kind of a lighthearted feeling. The atmosphere of the city had changed dramatically in the 2 years. And so I believe that we had a part in ushering peace back in 2012. I believe God sent us there for a purpose to speak his blessings over that place and to speak prosperity over that place and to speak the hope for those people to live a normal lifestyle and to live a life where they're not in fear every day and not being kidnapped and shot at and raped and all of these horrific things that they've gone through the last 30 years there in the Congo. So we spent a week there in Goma and then came back out to Kigali and flew back to Nairobi, spent about three more days there in Nairobi, and flew home and got back to this area here on the 7th of October. And so I thank the Lord for the provision. I thank the Lord for safety and safe travel in all those places. I was on 10 different flights and logged 22,000 miles approximately, spoke in 13 different events and to several thousand people, including a television broadcast of the events on the last day of the crusade in Goma. And so we were able to get the gospel message to thousands and thousands of people over several countries and areas of Eastern Africa. The Lord just opened up doors in amazing ways. Well, I'm going to speak just a little bit after coming home from Africa. Of course, everybody is talking about the Ebola virus. I didn't see anything of any Ebola sickness over there. I was blessed to have pretty good health this time. I got sick coming out of Congo, but it was a foodborne illness, which is quite common in Africa. I was sick on the plane and then sick in Nairobi for two or three days after we got back to rest in Nairobi. But I didn't see anything of Ebola. But as all of you know, it's on the minds of everybody here in America. And I just want to share my take on Ebola. I want to share what I believe the Lord is saying here in regards to Ebola and other things that are happening here in the United States. In Deuteronomy 28, if you will turn there with me in your Bible, it says in verse 1, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all those blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." And then he starts the blessings here in verse 3. "Blessed shall you be in a city, and blessed shall you be in a country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of the ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, the produce of your ground, the land in which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. And if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, or to go after other gods and to serve them." Well, I believe that, brothers and sisters, is a description of the history of the United States, a history of a great nation that God has blessed mightily, a nation that has been given abundant resources, abundant inventions, and creativity and in making all kinds of technological advances in farm machinery, in computer machinery, computer technology. All of these ways God has blessed this nation, the patents and the inventions and the resources of this nation. And he has blessed this nation because we have been a nation that has looked to the Lord. We have been a nation that was founded on the principles of the Christian doctrine of God's Word. The Ten Commandments forms the basis for the law here in this country. And so God has blessed this country. And in the beginning of this country, the founding documents attest to that fact that this country paid homage and this country acknowledged God in all of its founding documents. We the people, we have inalienable rights given to us by God, given to us, granted to us by our Creator, that all men should be created equal. And that's the reason God has blessed this country. He did not allow slavery to stand. He has not allowed corruption on a mass scale as you find in other countries to take hold and take root here in America. And I believe, God-fearing people, the signers of the Declaration of Independence, the signers of the Constitution, were for the most part men of faith and godly men. Many of them were preachers and graduates of schools of divinity. And so God has blessed this nation, but things are turning in another direction. Things are turning in a way that God is not blessing this nation. He's starting to remove his hand of blessing on this nation. I'm not saying that God doesn't still bless this nation, but he is starting to remove the protection that this nation has enjoyed. He's starting to remove his hand of protection so that the devil is able to come in and the enemy is able to come in. And that's what you're seeing happen here in the United States of America, especially the last few years. We have turned greatly away from the Lord. We've turned away from his precepts. There's now government promotion of homosexual marriage in nearly all the states of the United States. There's government promotion of abortion, the murdering of the unborn. There's a turning away from support of Israel, turning our back on Israel. And God said in the latter part of Deuteronomy 28, he said, when you do this, when you turn away from me, then I'm going to allow your enemies to come in. I'm going to allow the curses to come upon you. And he starts the curses then in chapter 28, verse 15. So in verse 15 it reads, and it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. And verse 22, the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. Well, that is bleak picture of what happens when God removes his hand of blessing. It's a picture that we don't want to go into, and yet I am feared that here in America we've already entered into that place because, as I spoke before, we're doing things that God considers an abomination. We're promoting things not only individually but on a corporate and government level of things that God considers an abomination. And so as God removes his hand of blessing, our enemies are given a foothold. We have porous border on our southern border. We have all kinds of issues with now illness and sickness and plague coming into this nation. And God, the whole rest of Deuteronomy 28, clear up until the 68th verse, talks about the curses that will come upon Israel. And of course, we know that Israel was eventually taken away, besieged and taken away by their enemies, the mothers, and God talks about this to his children. The mothers eventually ended up eating their children in the midst of the sieges, and so it was a grim picture of what happened to his beloved, to his children, those that he was betrothed to. It was a grim picture, and God was prophesying to them, and he was saying to them, if you turn away from me, if you seek other gods, if you do not seek me and worship me and humble yourself before me, these things will happen to you. And beloved, I'm seeing it happen. I don't know exactly where this this Ebola virus outbreak is going to go, but I can picture that it can get much, much worse, and I can picture that it can bring a great calamity, not only the people in Africa, but the people here in America. And God speaks about these kinds of plagues in verse 59 of chapter 28, verse 58, 59. He says, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. Verse 59, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sickness. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. Well, I pray, beloved, that that is not what's happening. I pray that we get on our knees. I pray that as you listen to this message today, you think about your own life and you examine yourself and you examine your own life and where you stand in relation to the Lord your God, the one who wrote these precepts, the one who gave us the law, the one who gave us the blessing, the one who has protected us. And I just pray, beloved, that you get on your knees and you cry out to the Lord today and you thank him and you praise him and you seek his face. And if you don't know him, that you cry out to him and you ask the Lord to come in and you ask him to save you and to open up your heart to his saving grace. And as you do that, if we would do that as a nation, if every single person would get down on their knees and cry out to the Lord, we would turn this nation around. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face and pray to me, the Lord says, then I will hear their prayer from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Well, beloved, we need healing. I thank God for America. I wanted to kiss the earth here in America when I got back after being in Africa for a month, because this is such a great nation. It's a great nation that God has exalted. He has made us the head and not the tail, but we can be taken down, and we can be taken and destroyed by not only our enemies, but by the plague and many other ways. And I pray that that does not happen. I pray that God's hand will continue to bless us and protect us and guide us. And I pray that each and every person out there listening today would receive this message and take the appropriate steps in his life or your life to turn back to the Lord and repent of your sin and turn from your wicked ways and seek his face. Well, I thank you for listening today. I pray for the blessing to be upon you and upon your house and upon your family. And I ask you to be in prayer for this ministry. I ask you to be in prayer for this nation as we approach the election. And I thank you again for listening. Tune in again next week. God bless you.